Hello everyone, welcome back. This week is Parshas Vayechi. We're going to continue learning Halachos Brachos. We started last week discussing the Halachos of Shinui Makim, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue this week. So last week we discussed the basic concept of Shinui Makim. Shinui Makim means changing your place, and changing your place requires a person to make a new bracha, Rishayna, that when the bracha he made in the first place is not valid anymore once you leave. And the concept is that the seuda, the meal that you were having in the first place, ends as soon as you leave that place. The bracha always depends on the continuing status of the meal, of the seuda. And once the seuda is ended, the bracha is not valid anymore. So if you're in your home and you leave, you go outside, whatever seuda you were having, whatever you were eating inside the house has now ended. That session of eating has ended, and therefore the bracha becomes not valid anymore. So now if you want to continue eating, you have to make a new bracha. That's the concept of Shinui Makim. Now the benchmark for Shinui Makim, the basic case where everybody agrees and it's undisputed, is leaving your house and going onto the street. In that case, when you've left your house and gone into the street, it's a clear and undisputed case of Shinui Makim, and that will require you to make a new bracha. However, there's always a second factor, like we discussed last week, and that is, what type of food are we talking about? Is it something you make a mezainis on, or hamaitzi? That type of food is not affected by Shinui Makim, even though you went into the street. But if it's something you make a shahakel, or most things that you make a ha'etz on, outside of Shivas Aminim, or something you make a hadama on, all those things, the bracha will be voided by the change of place. Now, what's the explanation for this? The explanation is that mezainis, and when you eat a mezainis, it requires an alamichya. When you eat bread, it requires berachas hamazon. And both those brachas of alhamichya and berachas hamazon are brachas which are supposed to be made in the place where the eating session took place. So even if you leave your house, you still are obligated to return and make the bracha achrayna where you ate. And that fact keeps the suda going. It keeps your eating session going. You haven't really left. You still need to come back. So when you're eating those things, mezainis and bread, where you have to make an alamichya or berachas hamazon, you don't lose your bracha because you haven't yet finished your eating session merely by leaving, because you still need to come back. Now, once we understand that, we see and we understand that it'll only apply if you've eaten a minimum of a kezias before leaving. See, because if you eat less than a kezias, you're not obligated to make a bracha achrayna. Less than a kezias of bread or less than a kezias of mezainis is equivalent to an apple or a potato. It doesn't require you to return to make the bracha achrayna because there is no bracha achrayna necessary. So the sum total is that if you were to leave your house after eating one pretzel, when you go back inside, you will need to make another bracha of mezainis. So there, in other words, there's a case where even when you're eating pretzels, which are mezainis, or even if you're eating a sandwich, which is hamaitzi, but all you did was take a bite and then you ran outside for whatever reason or went outside, you will then need to make another hamaitzi. You won't have to wash again, but you will have to make another hamaitzi, and you'll have to make another mezainis at that point, because the Shinui Makim does affect even mezainis and even hamaitzi if you ate less than a kezias, because there's no obligation to go back and make a bracha achrayna. So you've lost your eating session. Now, I mentioned last week that even leaving your house for just a minute is already a Shinui Makim. Doesn't make a difference how short it is. If you've gone outside, it's a Shinui Makim, and it requires a new bracha. Even leaving your house with the intention to eat on the road is also a Shinui Makim and requires a new bracha. But there's an exception to this, so let's try to clarify. The exception is as follows. Let's say you make yourself a coffee, or you buy a coffee in Starbucks, and you take a sip of it in the store, you take a sip of it in your house on your way out, you know, you want to see, does it need more sugar, this, that, whatever it is, you start drinking in the house, and you take your coffee with you as you're going outside the house. So in that case, although you began your drinking session in the house, you don't leave the bracha when you leave. And the reason is because it's sort of like you were never in your house to begin with. Because as soon as you made that bracha, you were already traveling. Your house happened to be the place where your travels began. but you never really settled down in your house to drink your coffee, so the house never became your place, and it's as if you made that bracha on the road. So therefore, you take that sip and you go outside, you don't lose that bracha. And this would apply to chewing gum or sucking candy or anything that you'll be eating on your way. However, we need to make a distinction between this and between when you start eating at home with the intention of at some point running out. Like, for example, let's say you start eating breakfast at home, right? And you were eating a yogurt, and you got halfway through the yogurt, and your ride beeped outside. So you ran outside with your yogurt. So there you did start eating at home, and you were being kaveh. You had made your place, your eating session, in your house. So even though you knew that at some point you might have to run out, and you did indeed run out when your ride came, that would be a shini makom, and you would need to make a shahakal on that yogurt that you took with you in the car. But if you made a sandwich and the same way like we had the coffee before, you never intended to sit down and eat the sandwich. You just made the sandwich and you just washed in your house. You made the hamitz, you took a bite and then ran outside because you were on the way to begin with. You just was convenient to wash and make the hamitz in the house, but you never sat down to eat that sandwich at home. All along you were going outside, you were traveling. So then you never made your house the place of eating to begin with. So then you don't lose the bracha. But if you did sit down, although you knew you might have to leave in the middle, or you knew you were going to leave in the middle, but you did sit down to eat, and you ate like a half your food or whatever it is, then you were kaveh at home, and by leaving, you at that point lose your bracha. Now, it goes without saying, by the same token, any bracha you make outside the house, on the road, like you actually make the bracha in the car, so that by definition is a bracha without a place, and won't be affected by going in and out of any house. So you make a bracha on something in your car, and then you go into a store and out of a store and into a building and out of a building, that bracha won't be affected. So to summarize, what we're saying is that Shinui Makom doesn't really care if you had in mind to leave. The only thing that really makes a difference in Shinui Makom is not whether you had in mind one thing or another, but rather what it really depends on is have you settled down in a house or not? Have you settled down in a place? If you've settled down in a place, that place is the place of your bracha, and then by leaving, you've changed the place. If you never settled down in the place to begin with, then you don't have a place for your bracha, no problem of Shinui Makom. You haven't changed. You never had a place to begin with. You make a bracha on your coffee, you're running out, you don't have a place to begin with. You make a bracha on your sandwich and you're running out, you don't have a place to begin with. You don't lose the place by leaving. But if you sit down to eat, if you were in the middle of a meal, you knew you had intentions, that doesn't make a difference. You sat down and this was your place, you started eating here. Then when you leave, it's a shini makom and it requires a new bracha, although you knew all along that was what you were going to do. This week, Parashas Vayechi, and in the beginning of this week's parasha, Yosef brings his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, so that Yaakov Avinu should give them a bracha. Yaakov Avinu proceeds to give them a bracha, but in an unusual manner. He puts his right hand on Ephraim, the younger son, who is standing on his left side. And he puts his left hand on Menashe, who is standing on his right side. And as a result, he needs to cross his hands over like an X. And the Torah remarks upon this. He was Sikel Es Yadav. He crossed his hands wisely, but he did this strange action. And Yosef objected to this, thinking that Yaakov didn't realize that Menashe was the Bechor and standing on the right side, and he said the right hand should be going on the Bechor. But Yaakov reassured Yosef that he was aware that Menashe is the Bechor, but still chose to put the right hand on Ephraim's head because Ephraim was destined for greater things. Therefore, he put his right hand on Menashe, and in the wording of the bracha as well, Yaakov put Ephraim before Menashe. He said, Yisimcha lekim ke Ephraim v'cha Menashe, Hashem, that all of us should bless our children to be as Ephraim and Menashe. So Rashi explains, in what way will Ephraim be greater than Menashe? So he explains that Menashe was great as well. One of his descendants was Gideon. Gideon was one of the Shaftim of Klal Yisrael, who came from Shevet Menashe, and through him many nisim happened, and he saved Klal Yisrael from under the oppression of Midian. But from Ephraim will come Yehoshua, and Yehoshua will bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and he'll teach them Torah. And the nisim that happened through Yehoshua will be ultimately much greater, because he'll cause the sun to stop moving for a span of time, and through that demonstrate Hashem's dominion to the entire world. So Yeshua is much greater than Gideon, therefore Ephraim was on a higher level, and therefore he put the right hand on Ephraim's head and put him first in the bracha. Now, why was it that Ephraim merited this greatness over Manasseh? Mefarshim say that Ephraim was the one who was Meshamesh, who served Yaakov Avinu. He was the one who learned with Yaakov Avinu Torah. And Manasseh served Yosef. He was helping Yosef with his affairs in Mitzrayim. Through connecting himself and becoming a disciple of Yaakov Avinu, Ephraim ultimately became greater than Manasseh. And in truth, this itself was the reason for Yeshua's greatness. There were other people in Klal Yisrael who perhaps had a greater potential than Yeshua, as Mefarshim explained, but Yeshua dedicated himself totally to Moshe Rabbeinu, and through that was the one who could carry out the mission of bringing Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and teaching them Torah. It required 100% devotion to the Messiah, 100% devotion to a Rebbe, so that you'd be able to transmit exactly as the Rebbe taught, and none other than Yeshua was worthy of that. In other words, it was the quality that Ephraim demonstrated to attaching himself to Yaakov Avinu that then carried over to Yeshua, and that was the source of Ephraim's greatness and eventually showing it itself in Yeshua, who had totally given himself over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Another interesting point in this Pasha, Rav Chaim Elazar asks, why did Yaakov Avinu need to cross his hands? A very unusual manner, like we said before, there's a Torah comments on, and he calls it Sikelas Yadav, he is wise with his hands. There's a much more simple solution than, you know, putting your hands in this strange setup. Couldn't he have just told Manasseh to please move over to the left side, and Ephraim to the right side, so that he could put his right hand on Ephraim's head, and his left hand on Manasseh's head? That would be somewhat of a simple way of doing things. So Chaim Elazar says an amazing pshat. He says the nature of people, unfortunately, when we describe our friends and family, people we know, we tend to skim when over their better qualities. We don't focus or elaborate on our friends' virtues. We diminish them. We definitely don't praise them all that much to their face. But when it comes to their failings, then we get it straight. We dissect them. We take each aspect of their character apart. We don't skip over anything. He says the right side of a person symbolizes their strength, their good qualities, and the left side symbolizes a person's weaknesses. When we face a person, our right side is lined up with his left side, because our tendency is that we put our right hand, our best efforts, our strengths, into examining and seeing the other person's failings, while our left side corresponds with the person facing us right, because we are weak when it comes to bringing out a person's praiseworthy qualities. Yaakov Avinu, however, was a man of extreme truth, and he was coming to give this message. He crossed his hands over to demonstrate that he was doing the opposite. He was using his right hand to do his best and bringing out the elevated qualities of the person he was speaking to, so that his right hand would be in sync with the other person's right hand. His left hand was crossed over to line up with the opposing person's left hand, to show that he did not focus and use his strengths to focus on the other person's weaknesses. And it's an interesting point here. The Rambam, when he explains the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kameicha in Hilchos Deis, he says it's a mitzvah for every Jew to love his friend like himself. Therefore, the Rambam says, he needs to speak of his praises and to watch over the person's possessions of his own. So it's amazing that in the midst of Ahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, it's intrinsic to the mitzvah to speak and to bring out our friend's good qualities and to praise the good deeds that he did, to talk about it and to bring it out to the fore. In order to focus on our friend's qualities, we have to do what Yaakov Avinu did. We have to put our right hand to their right hand, which means we suppress our natural inclination to go straight for the left side. That's our comfort zone. You know, your right hand naturally goes to the other person's left hand. But we need to suppress ourselves because we have an inner desire to aggrandize ourselves And rather, we have to move over our right hand to their left, to their right side, to their right hand, to see what our friend has to offer. But it's not enough just to notice them. That's an ayin type. But this midah of loving another Jew, true v'ahav l'reacha kamecha, requires us to say it, to bring it out, to focus on it, to praise them. This is a midah that we see a lot by the great people in Klal Yisrael. They would always focus and bring out and praise the people around them. And it really is a true midah of humility. And in truth, perhaps these two things go together. This that Ephraim was mevatel himself, he suppressed himself in order to totally give himself over to Yaakov Avinu, to learn whatever Yaakov Avinu has to say, is an aspect of the same humility that every person has to have, to look at a friend, see what he has to offer, see what their good qualities are, to talk about it, to speak about it, and to bring it out. And through that, we can truly be mekayem in the midst of a ahavta l'reacha kamecha. Have a good night and a good Shabbos.